All right, I think the previous talk set my talk up perfectly for this morning. I'm glad to see a lot of people still here. Usually this last day of the Beltwide, there's the speakers in the room, and they all got their suitcases stacked up at the back of the room, so I'm glad to see y'all here. Looked in the other room, there's plenty of people over there, too, so appreciate y'all sticking around. So like I said, I think the previous speaker set this talk up pretty well. With showing the efficacy of insecticides in our region. It was a fairly small area that he was showing data from, but I think it's pretty reflective of the whole Mid-South. And, you know, he showed that with a lot of those insecticides over the last 10 years that there wasn't a huge decline in the efficacy of some of those insecticides, especially like acephate. But I don't know if y'all noticed, one of the things on those slides is pretty much none of the products that he was looking at provided much better than about 80% control. And with the type of populations of plant bugs that we're dealing with in the Mid-South, 80% control is really not enough for us. And so in our area, we recommend usually two applications, especially once we get into that bloom period and we're dealing with those big populations of established nymphs. And, you know, one of the reasons this project came about is that with the increased level of plant bugs that we've been seeing in the Mid-South over the last several years, it's gotten extremely expensive for growers, and they're always looking for ways to cut money and reduce input costs. And so their natural reaction initially was to start stretching out application intervals and try to stretch those applications out as long as they can, hoping to make one less application at the end of the year. And I think what you'll see from this data set is that may not be the best way to approach plant bug management in the situation that we're dealing with in the Mid-South. So just to start off, first, you know, acknowledge this is a big Mid-South Entomology Working Group project that we've been working on the last 2 years, and these are the collaborators that contributed to this project. There's a big group of us in Mississippi, myself and Don Cook, Angus Catchout and Fred Musser, and then Nathan Little, Catherine Paris, and Clint Allen with ARS in Mississippi. Then in Arkansas, Gus Lorenz and Glenn Studebaker, and Nick Bateman and Ben Thrash. In poor Louisiana and Tennessee, they just got one person in each state, so they got to work four times as hard as the rest of us. But they do a great job in all these states, and they're a great group to work with and collaborate with. So getting into this study, this was conducted the last 2 years, 2017 and 2018, across multiple locations in Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi. And from those studies over those 2 years from those states, we ended up with 10 good site years. In 2017, several of us had some problems with rainfall occurring when we were trying to conduct this trial, and we lost a few of our locations, but we did end up, like I said, with 10 good site years. So we think it's a pretty good, robust data set. All these trials were arranged as a randomized complete block design with four replications. In all of them, we used a Bolgard 2 variety, and that was just to minimize any impacts on yield from caterpillar pests. If we did start to see any caterpillar pests, we made blanket applications of Prevathon or Besiege, or we avoided Besiege because it has the pyrethroid, so we used Prevathon to control those caterpillar pests and try to minimize their impact on yield. All of these tests were sprayed with some type of high-clearance sprayer. A lot of the guys have Mudmasters. At Stoneville, we have a tricycle high boy, but they're all set up basically the same with multiple booms. We sprayed them all at 10 GPA. Tried to keep as much of that, you know, the application parameters as consistent as possible across locations. As far as sampling, we sampled these plots at 4, 7, 10, and around 14 to 15 and 18 to 20 days after the first application. And you'll see when I get to the treatments, that some of these applications were made immediately prior to the second application, and I'll get into that in a minute. For the analysis, we analyzed it with proc-glimics, and we separated means using Fisher's protected LSD. So these are our treatments. We had an untreated control transform at 1 3/4 ounces. We had another treatment in there of transform at 2 1/4 ounces plus acephate at 3/4 ounce. And this is a treatment that Scott came up with in Tennessee. And this one was just meant to be like a vacation type spray, which you hear about sometimes. Consultants and growers are going to be going on vacation, so they're going to put a big, heavy application out there and try to get them by until they get back from vacation. And then the real heart of the study was treatments 4, 5, and 6 there, and I'll get into those a little bit more in a minute. So for those treatments 2 and 3, the one application of transform and the transform plus acephate, those two treatments were a single application at those rates. And then treatments 4, 5, and 6 were our main treatments that we were trying to look at. And those were transform at that 1 3/4, and then we followed it with acephate at 3/4 pound at either 4, 7, or 10 days after that first application. And so this is what I was getting to with those ratings that we made. The 4, 7, and 10 day ratings were made immediately before we made that second application. So this is just getting into the data a little bit, and I know that this graph's difficult to see, but I just wanted to put this up here, and I'm going to break it down a little bit more in the next couple of slides. But basically what this shows is that all of our treatments reduce tarnished plant bug populations below our threshold. And this is showing the number per 10 row feet, and the way we sample these tests is we use a 2.5 foot drop cloth, a black drop cloth. This is all nymph counts only. We shake both rows, so that's a total of 5 row feet sampled per drop, and we take 2 drop cloth samples in each plot. But again, the thing that you'll notice is everything reduced the plant bug populations below our threshold, dealing with some pretty high populations, and that's pretty typical of what we see in our Mid-South area. So this is just breaking it down to those two single applications, and the one thing that really stands out, that dotted line on this graph at 6, that would represent our current action threshold for tarnished plant bugs in cotton across the Mid-South, and we did a big project validating that threshold, and since, I don't know, the last 10 or 12 years, we've all across the Mid-South had that same action threshold for plant bugs. But the one thing that this slide really shows is exactly what I was saying earlier, is that 80% control in our environment's not enough that Aaron was showing earlier. And neither one of the treatments, even at extremely high rate, didn't reduce plant bug populations below the threshold. We got real close with that treatment, but we didn't quite get them below it, and then they gradually increased over time after that point. And then this is getting into the two sequential applications. So the blue line is 4 days after treatment, the orange is 7 days after treatment, and the gray is 10 days after treatment. And the one thing, and it's showing the rating intervals over time from 4 to 18 days after that first application. And the one thing that you'll notice is obviously that blue line, which is 4 days after treatment, by that 7 day rating, we were down below that threshold after that second application made it 4 days after the first application. And then the orange line, it took us till 10 days to get below that action threshold. And then, the 7 day took us to 10 days to get below the threshold. And then the 10-day, wasn't until the 14-day application that got us below threshold. And I didn't want to show all of the stats in here. It just makes it messy. But there are some significant differences in these plant bug numbers in here. But the main point of this is that, the the one application, like I said, won't reduce plant bug populations below that threshold. And essentially what happens with this is that if we leave those populations out there, growers leave those populations out there and try to stretch those application intervals out, they're leaving a population of threshold, greater than threshold level population plant bugs out in those fields for an extended period of time. And it's setting them up for some potential yield losses, or, you know, especially over time, over an entire growing season, can potentially cause some yield reductions. And then moving into the yield, we looked at this with wanted to look at the location effect and just determine if we had a location by treatment interaction, and we didn't. So this is showing the yield across all locations, and again, we did have a treatment effect. But a couple important things to note from this is everything improved yield from either one or two applications for plant bugs in an overall seasonal approach above the untreated control. So even that single application still improved our cotton yields. The other thing is the 4 and 7 day application intervals provided better yields than the single applications by themselves. And then that 10 day interval wasn't different from either the single application or the 4 and 7 day. It was somewhere in between those two. So generally looking at this, what we would conclude from this is that it's best for our growers from a economics and a yield protection standpoint not to extend those application intervals beyond 7 days, and probably somewhere in that 4 to 7 day range within their scouting schedules is going to be the optimum for maximizing plant bug control and protecting yield. And so just to wrap it up, as I said, one application did not reduce our plant bug numbers below our current action threshold. Those 4 to 7 day spray intervals seemed to have provided the best control, and they also provided the best yield protection in terms of what the growers would harvest at the end of the year. And again, all of our spray treatments did improve yield over the untreated control. So with that, I'm going to end. Hopefully y'all have some questions because we're getting ahead on the schedule. But again, I'd like to thank all of my collaborators that work with us on this within this Mid-South group, and I also thank Cotton Incorporated for their support of our research programs. So with that, y'all got any questions? Yeah. I'm sorry? It didn't. Sometimes what?
Whatever we suppose, a lot of times we need to do that.
That's right, that's right.
We do that all the time.
Yeah. Yep. And I think, you know, when we show people this, they're going to realize that. We don't have a lot of people that try to do that kind of stuff. But.
Well, I try to do it every 4th of July. Yep. With the number of different sites involved here, were temperatures at your site come as well?
No, but most of these were conducted, like at Stoneville, they were conducted on research stations, and most of us have weather stations that we can go back and collect some of that data, and I think that's probably, you know, when we start writing this up to publish it, we're going to do something like that to calculate some insect days, because I think that'll really stand out for us looking at those intervals. All right. Thank you all.